Welcome in, everybody, to the latest All Lion podcast, made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. Christian, guess what? We're the Lone Wolves here talking about the Detroit Lions. We're the guys that are going to try to today explore everything that's going on with the draft. It's this week. I'm excited. You did your final mock draft. There's going to be so much to talk about and break down with the Detroit Lions, a key draft for the future of the rebuild and how everything's going. A team now in the Detroit Lions that are looking to take the next step. It's an exciting time. This Detroit Lions draft has the potential to replenish a lot of positions for the Detroit Lions because, you know, they don't have really areas of need significantly on offense, but there are areas of depth that they could shore up for sure on defense. And I think Aaron Glenn's probably the most excited coach that is at Allen Park, ready to find out which defensive players are going to be added to this roster.
Oh, 100%. First of all, I'm excited to get back on here with you and talk with you about the draft. It's going to be an exciting week, man. It's hard to believe it's already here. I agree. I think Aaron Glenn is the guy to watch right now. But at the same time, it feels like every year we've been doing this together, we have the plan. This is what we think the Lions are going to do. And then they go throw a curveball and do something the exact opposite. So I'm just kind of staying on my toes, man, and being ready. As soon as that thing kicks off at 8 o'clock, you never know what could happen. So I'm excited to see where the Lions go with this. And like I mentioned, it could be anybody. It could be any position. They've put themselves in a really good spot with the roster in terms of depth and having starter caliber players at every single position. So now it's just kind of playing the wait and see game.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think based on Brad Holmes' pre-draft media session, people are kind of wondering, okay, I think maybe people are going to assume that Brad Holmes could move up or move down. First and foremost, at the basic level, what are the chances that Brad Holmes stays at number 29? Because there really are strong advantages to moving up and moving down. It seems like staying at 29 might be the least popular option at this point among some supporters.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting to think about. You look at last year and what Brad Holmes did last year. First of all, they traded out of 6 and moved back to 12 and gained an extra second round pick with that trade. And then day 2, I mean, you remember day 2, it was a madhouse. They were wheeling and dealing all over the place, moving up, moving back again. They traded 3 picks for Broderick Martin. They were just bouncing all over the place, right? So I think it's more likely than not that Brad Holmes does look to make a move out of that number 29 overall pick. Now, whether or not that happens, it's hard to say. Obviously, you have to find a taker. And if you read my mock draft, we're recording this on Tuesday, so it was this morning. I had the Lions trading out of 29 with the Las Vegas Raiders, who gave them 44 and 112. And that did a couple of things for the Lions. Number one, it allowed them to move back and gain a second round pick. And number two, it allowed them to have a selection in the 4th round, which they do not currently have right now, while the Raiders moved up to, in my scenario, get quarterback Michael Penix, who I've heard a lot of buzz connecting the Raiders and Penix. So that one just made a little bit of sense to get him on the 5th-year option and things like that. So, yeah, I would certainly think the Lions are making a move on Thursday night. That's just my opinion. And then also in terms of trading up, it's hard. You don't have the capital like you've had in years past where, you know, the last 2 years they've had 2 first round picks to work with. And this time around, they don't have that. It's just going to be hard. You're having to give up future picks. And we all know that Brad Holmes loves his draft capital. So it's hard for me to see him making a move involving a future pick, which would kind of rule out trading up at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah. What's your dream scenario? Because for me, I think that most likely, logically, it makes sense that Brad Holmes could take on a trade to get more capital because of the fact that, look, this is an evaluator that has a real solid scouting department. There's a lot of talented individuals working to find players that fit what Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes like and also the coaching staff, what they like in gritty players and players that have high football IQ, leaders, and those that have the ability to play multiple spots and be versatile. So there's no question they have built up credibility in regards to their plan. So that's why really everybody's going to probably universally praise whatever decision is made, but it seems more logical. But at the same token, it kind of goes into that debate of, hey, it is kind of a team, and I know he said that, hey, every year there's an opportunity to draft impactful players, that they don't look at the Super Bowl window when targeting players. But at the same token, when you're targeting impactful players, in the first round, that kind of lends to that opportunity to improve your football team. Now, this player doesn't exactly have to come in and start right away, but you would expect that at least the first round pick would be a player that could potentially in November and December and in a playoff push come in and help this football team win. And I just think that's kind of where I would vote to trade up. And I know most people will not like trading up for a cornerback, but Quinyon Mitchell, clearly the Toledo defensive back, he shines. His tape really indicates a player that maybe sooner rather than later can make the jump and play well at the NFL level. Many people are looking at Jared Verse, obviously players that can play opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, and you may have to trade up. Maybe you could trade up into the 20s, just a little bit more, maybe 20, 21. So I'm curious your thoughts. If they do trade up, would it be for an offensive player? Is there a player that you say, you know what, we can build at the wide receiver spot that they could get? Or is there a player that you say, you know what, this is the guy that could play opposite of Aiden Hutchinson that everybody really has to kind of really accept? Because I think trading up presents an opportunity to get a better talented individual that can help this team win now. And really, it is all about 2024. And I know there's a focus on beyond, but this football team could benefit from a high impact player. And for me, it probably lends to a defensive lineman. But I, at the same token, I'm also all about if there's a wide receiver that can be explosive and score some touchdowns and be a help for Jared Goff, I'm all for that too.
Yeah, no, I wrote about it in the roundtable on Sunday. We talked about it on the last podcast. My guy is Leiatu Leitu from UCLA. Now, you're going to probably have to move into the teens to get him, right? So that would be a significant trade up. And that's why I'm saying, you know, like I said previously, I just don't think it makes a ton of sense. But if you're asking me what's my dream scenario and I'm in charge, that's what I'm doing. Because sometimes it doesn't have to make sense when you're getting a player like that. Now, the one thing on Leitu is his injury history. Obviously had to medically retire at one point in his career and then got cleared again, transferred to UCLA, and he's been dominant the last 2 years. So with that medical history, you know, with our time doing this, we've seen these guys with injury histories sometimes tend to slip a little bit. And so if Leitu gets out of the teens and into the 20s, then it becomes a little bit more realistic. And in looking around at different mock drafts and doing my research, I've been seeing that Leitu is kind of bookmarked from anywhere between, you know, Denver at 12. A lot of people have him at Seattle at 16, things like that. And if he gets by Seattle, then to me, that's when you would really start to consider, hey, let's go up and get this guy, right? Because you don't want him to slip into the 20s, because at that point it becomes best player available and somebody will take him right away. So if he gets by Seattle at 16, that would be my area where I would want to pounce, because like I've said before, he is the guy you want to pair with Aiden Hutchinson. He's got a super deep bag of pass rush moves. He's got counters. He's very skilled. He's physical. And then the production is there. There's no question about whether or not he can do it. Just look at his numbers. Leitu is my guy for the Lions. If they're going to look to trade up, he would be the guy to do it for, in my opinion.
Yeah. Tell me about some defensive backs the Lions could target on day two or day three, because I do think that many people could see the Lions targeting an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, or an edge rusher in the first round. And you could target potentially wide receiver and defensive backs in later rounds. I do think that there's some value at the safety spot as well. We'll talk about the kicker position here in a few minutes, but if there's a player or players that you've seen that potentially could be targeted in later rounds that could help the Lions. Because look, the defensive backs room has been upgraded, but I do think you could potentially add one or two more to that room for competition. And you always have to safeguard against injury. You don't know exactly how Amik Robertson is going to perform. You are still hoping that Emmanuel Mosley can be a player that can come in and, you know, have another strong rehabilitation and come back, hopefully stays healthy after two consecutive seasons that were ended due to significant knee injuries. So to me, tell me what in your research and your scouting has led you to believe that there's some defensive backs in later rounds that the Lions could target.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good cornerback class, in my opinion. You talk about day two guys. The one that I would keep an eye on is Ennis Rakestraw Jr., who a lot of people had him to the Lions at 29 from the early on, but now he's started to slip a little bit. And whether that's, you know, combine testing, things like that, maybe interviews, who knows. But that trade that I did in my mock draft, it was Zach Frazier or it was Ennis Rakestraw. I think that 40 late 30s, early 40s is the perfect time for him. And so if the Lions want to make a move into that area, that would be a guy they would get. And the guy I ended up taking in my mock draft actually was Florida State's Renardo Green, who doesn't have the production and necessarily, you know, some of the eye-popping things like that. But you look at his play style and the scheme he played in with Florida State and that press man, man-to-man coverage, you know, you're always matched up on a guy. There's not a lot of zone. That's how Aaron Glenn does things with the Lions. So he, to me, is a really, really good fit on day two. You have Rake Straw's teammate, Chris Abrams-Drain as well, who is another guy that I could see gelling really well in Aaron Glenn's secondary for sure.
Yeah, and in looking at it, it probably wouldn't make sense that the Lions are going to target a safety when you realize if Fatu Melifonwu is an emerging player but has a history of injury. You know that he emerged in the second half of 2023, strong, physical, really prototypical safety that could excel in Aaron Glenn's scheme. Kirby Joseph, not going to be available. He revealed that he had offseason hip surgery at the Lions uniform reveal. So you're going to need some depth at the safety spot. Who are some players that you targeted and have seen that potentially the Lions could add? I've seen a lot of safeties being targeted by the Lions in later rounds in mock drafts. And many people assume now with Kirby Joseph being out until training camp that the Lions are going to probably draft a safety maybe on day two or day three.
Yeah, I think it starts with Tyler Newbin, who has been, you know, the most productive safety in the class. A ton of interceptions with Minnesota, just a really big ball hawk, right? He knows where to find the ball. And he's not always the fastest to the spot, but it doesn't matter because he's there first, right? He just knows his spots. He's got a lot of football IQ. He knows where to be and when to be there. And so his timing is really good, which in turn leads to interceptions, taking the ball away, things like that. Another interesting name, Cole Bishop from Utah. And then another couple of guys that maybe you get into that third, fourth round range. When you're looking at Dadrian Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech. You know, Jaden Hicks is another guy who could go on day two. And then you have Javonte Bullard from Georgia, who could be another guy you could look at as well. But yeah, no, it's a really deep safety class, especially in that mid to late round area. So it should be a lot of fun to keep an eye on when the Lions go there, because I agree that is a spot where the Lions need to address the depth, especially with Kirby Joseph being out. And Fatu Melifonwu had a really strong finish to the year, but he hasn't played a full season yet. So that's something worth keeping an eye on for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And a position that people are clamoring for and have paid strong attention to all throughout the offseason. They're even paying attention to the UFL, the Michigan Panthers, because of their star kicker who just every week makes a long field goal that goes viral online. You also saw online earlier today that Stanford kicker has been in town for a couple days. You've seen that potentially the Alabama kicker is one that has been popular, making noise and making waves as a potential target for the Lions. When you look at it, who's a target that the Lions could add? Because Brad Holmes clearly stated, and the coaching staff really want to give Michael Badgley competition. And probably, you know, going into training camp, you recognize that, hey, the kicking situation is still up in the air. It's not Michael Badgley's guaranteed. They want competition. And if you can find a strong leg kicker, whether it be in the draft or in the UFL, maybe even right in your own backyard, hey, it behooves the Lions to make sure to take care of that position, because you are going to have situations when you have a better team that where taking 3 points might be the answer. And you recognize that they have to clearly know that the kicking situation has not been up to par compared to offense, defense, and special teams. The units have really thrived, but the one that has really kind of been a head scratcher has been the kicking situation. And part of it is due to Dan Campbell's aggressiveness. Part of it is due to clearly Ben Johnson wanting to score touchdowns. But in certain moments, when you upgrade your defense, you can have more trust that taking the points will result in positive outcomes at the end of the game because you can trust your defense. And in the NFL, it's really hard to get to that point where you can trust your defense to make plays late in games. It's just really tough based on the way the game is going. But having a reliable kicker, I think, is something that Lions fans are certainly paying attention to. Who's on the board? Who do you think the Lions could target? Who are some big names that I think are going to be interesting that the Lions could bring as a player that could compete with Michael Badgley?
Yeah, I think it starts with, you know, they've got a good crop of kickers this year in the draft. You talk about Harrison Nevis is the one that everybody talks about, right? He's been kind of given the affectionate nickname of the thicker kicker, right? And he's got a huge leg and he's made a ton of big kicks for Missouri in his collegiate career. To me, that's kind of like priority number one. Like, obviously, Will Reichard is viewed as the number one kicker in the class, but, you know, the position is just so tough to evaluate. You know, they're not on the field a lot, right? It's not like you sit there and watch tape of kickers. It's simply a make or miss league. So in my opinion, between Reichard, Mevis, Cam Little, and Josh Carty from Stanford, you really can't go wrong with any of those guys. It's all about the mental makeup. And you can't really see a ton of that in terms of on field, aside, like I said, from whether or not you're making or missing your kicks. So for the Lions, I would honestly not be upset if some news came out where they met with a kicker or two at the combine just to get an idea of their mental framework, because it is a huge position that has to deal with your mind and your mental awareness and your confidence to go out there. If you just miss one, to go out there and hit the next one. You know, it's like a shooter in basketball. You have to have the confidence that the next one's going in. And so in terms of evaluating kickers, it's got to be about evaluating their mentality and where they're at, based on whether or not they, you know, they made the last one from 50 yards out and now you've got one from 37. It's like, you can't get two in your head. So yeah, I would say that there's a ton of options, you know, with Mevis and Little and Reichard and Carty even. And then you've got some other guys who are, you know, fringe. Are they going to get drafted? Are they going to be UDFAs? But yeah, evaluating their mentality to me would be priority number one.
Yeah. It's something that, when you look at it, when you have a reliable kicker, it makes, like, you look at Baltimore. They have, you know, one of the best kickers of all time, and they can go out there and play field position. They can handle their business knowing that, hey, there's an opportunity even late in games to secure wins by getting those kicks. And it hasn't really cost the Lions too much, but there are moments in some tight games where Dan Campbell has gone for it. And you recognize, hey, in the biggest moments, it just ramps up. Even the ability to go for it on fourth and two, you would think that Josh Reynolds would have been reliable, but everything ramps up in the postseason. The pressure is so great that even those fourth and two easy dump passes that you would expect Goff to connect with Josh Reynolds, it didn't happen. And in the end, it was a huge momentum shift for the 49ers. It helped them get back in the game when they were making their push. For the Lions, when they weren't able to get first downs, and just every yard in the postseason just seems that much more difficult. That's why I'm so thrilled that the Lions do, in fact, have an offense with a running game and with, you know, Jared Goff and tight end, with his strong connection to the tight ends. You realize the offense is poised to potentially, again, have a lot of success. That's why you're seeing early on, maybe even offensive linemen be targeted by the Lions. You look at it, and it's not, look, you look at offensive line, and many people will look at Jackson Powers, are going to look at the West Virginia offensive lineman. You look at a lot of players that potentially, there's one from BYU that's making noise as well. If the Lions were to take an offensive lineman early, who do you think fits the mold? Because you clearly want a versatile offensive lineman that has the ability to maybe even spell Frank Ragnow if there's a game or two where he can't go, a player that can, you know, be a rotational guy early on, maybe can compete for a starting spot, but you kind of feel like the Lions have a set starting five right now going into the 2024 season. But I think you're seeing Frazier move up a lot of boards. He's a name that a lot of people are talking about. And looking at his film, I can see why. He's talented. And I think he fits the mold in terms of a guy that I feel Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes would be very convicted in selecting. But I think you selected him having traded down. Do you think he'll last to the second round? Because I think a lot of people are targeting Frazier from West Virginia to be available at number 29.
Yeah, no, I definitely think he'll be there. That late 20s to early 40s is my kind of range. And I know that's a wide range for a player. But it's all about need, right? And you never know who's going to be moving around, what teams are going to trade up, what teams are trying to look and trade out. So anywhere between, I would say, like 25 and 44, which is where I took him in the mock draft. And I think that, honestly, if the Lions can't find a trade partner, maybe you just take him at 29. Like, to me, he is the best fit of that kind of top tier of offensive linemen on the interior. He's kind of the best fit just based on his, you know, his wrestling background. You feel like he's a tough Dan Campbell kind of guy, played through injury at points. And then he's just a mauler in the run game, man. Like, he was a center at West Virginia, and you probably slide him to guard on either side. But having that center background gives the Lions some flexibility, because we've talked about it. Injuries happen in this league, right? And guys get banged up and have to miss a week or two. And you want to have players who you're confident in throwing out there to be their backup and be the starter when somebody has to sit. Like last year with Kobe Soersdale and Coyote Awashika, you know, you didn't always feel like the Lions had the most confidence. Like they would go to Soersdale sometimes, and then they would go to Awashika other times. And it was just like, you never really know. So my hope with the Lions is that they can get a guy on that offensive line, a guy like Zach Frazier, who they're confident knowing, okay, if Glasgow goes down or if Zeitler goes down, this is our guy. We're plugging him in. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and we're sticking with him because we know that he has the ability to go out and get the job done.
Yeah, no, I'm very proud of the work you did. You did a lot of scouting just as much as I did. You did your mock drafts. All of them have done well. People understand, and they debated your picks strongly. I enjoyed every single one of them. I thought that you gave a fair representation of a lot of what the Lions could do. Look, it's going to be tough. Nobody is going to nail every single pick because, look, there's a lot of players. And in seven picks, there's a lot of opportunity to get, you know, look, they brought in guys from William and Mary. You and I are not really scouting William and Mary at the highest level. You know, we're looking at a lot of film day in and day out, but, you know, we aren't requesting William and Mary film. And there's a lot of guys in those programs that could be available that the Lions want to develop. You saw Broderick Martin. You saw that they were willing to take a player that they feel could sit a year, not really play all that much in live action, but behind the scenes working in practice, learning from veterans, and now having DJ Reader and Marcus Davenport and Aleem McNeil, you realize that Broderick Martin is going to be given every opportunity to continue his growth fundamentally and to get out there. And again, that's a guy that's going to be a clear run stuffer. And if he can develop all the tools to play along the defensive line, look out, because I do think that the Lions do have faith in him. And that's going to be really interesting. Some of the players on the Lions current roster that we're expecting to step up, it's going to be really fun when the mini camps kick off and we start to see, you know, the development of some of the rookies last year going into their second year. That's why a lot of people do have a lot of hope, is that you're going to bring potentially seven draftees to a team that was already in the NFC Championship last year. And if you can just up the competition, man, you realize when you have a roster like this and you're adding young talent that want to play, that just makes everybody better, because the veterans have to step up in order to keep their starting job. There's no, listen, Dan Campbell's not going to just gift anybody a starting job. So if the Lions do target a linebacker, that's just going to make Derek Barnes and Jack Campbell and Alex Anzalone and Malcolm Rodriguez just that much better to try and hold off the young player. And, man, it's exciting. It's the most exciting time of the year. And I think this is one of the rare times where now, after three drafts, Brad Holmes has earned so much credibility that you kind of are expecting on Friday and Saturday, the Lions are going to be considered draft winners by the national media. People are going to take a more positive approach, a more encouraging approach with what the Lions did. Even if they take a position like running back or wide receiver, I think people will understand, hey, there's competition. There was a feature earlier this morning just talking about how Brad Holmes did his work on Aaron Donald. And even though the Rams had a strong defensive line at that point 10 years ago, the Rams still decided to take Aaron Donald because everybody that saw his tape and recognized the kind of person that he was just a player that was going to have impact. And Brad Holmes said it again in his pre-draft media session, that they're not going to turn down impactful players. They're not going to, if they see a guy that plays any position, whether it be linebacker, cornerback, wide receiver, tight end, if there's a position that they see, hey, this guy for sure will have impact, will follow our plan, they're going to draft him. So that's what's going to make it fun. I just think that the only intrigue is going to be, is it moving up or moving down or staying? And people that are going to flock are going to have a good time. And look, I think Brad Holmes thought that the fan base would be a little bit more agitated if they stayed all day and they traded down. But I think that the reasoning that Brad Holmes would trade down would give everybody a level of encouragement. And guess what? I expect if they do trade down, I expect that's not the only moves they're going to make. They could make a bunch more moves to add more capital next year. That's the name of the game at this level, is adding as much capital as you can so that you can take swings when needed. And the Lions are really, when you look at it and you break it down, they're in one of the most advantageous positions in the league, in that, yeah, they can't move up to top five, but they have the ability to kind of maneuver into positions where I think the cluster of guys are going to be there when needed. And I'm curious, because to me, I just think the two positions that are going to be really tough to get instant impact are going to be cornerback outside of Quinyon Mitchell and probably, an edge rusher, because they have the player is going to have so much competition to try to get out on the field. But to me, does it give you any, do you get any clues knowing that Terrion Arnold is in town, will be one of the 13? I just have a hard time seeing him being the pick. Are you having a hard time seeing a couple of these prospects being the pick? To me, I picked in my mock draft for Fan Nation, I had Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think that he's a player that has that kind of developing quality that, even though there wasn't a lot on film that indicated, okay, he's a top five prospect, I thought that his ability to play press man, his closing speed, had his competitiveness was there. Didn't have a lot of interceptions, but I think he's kind of the perfect player that could be molded at the NFL level where they can take him at number 29 and he doesn't exactly have to start right away. But I think with several months of development, you remember he's going to come in May, but doesn't have to really step foot on the field and be a supreme competitor until November and December. That's a long period of time for a player to develop. Are there players that you just kind of go, well, they're being talked about, but I just have a hard time seeing them being productive in Detroit?
Yeah, there's a couple. So the first one is, like you said, Terrion Arnold. I just don't think he gets there, and I don't really think that the Lions would want to take a swing and go up and get him, just because, he's kind of been hit or miss with Kool-Aid McKinstry. Obviously, both of them were together, and Arnold has been the more favorable of the two. But also you have to take into account that, sometimes McKinstry's lined up on the number one, right? So now Arnold's seeing the number two and things like that. So, I think he's a fine player. I just don't really see him being with the Lions. The other one is A.D. Mitchell. I just think that, I've mocked him to the Lions in the past, but I've done a little bit more research and, it's just kind of, he needs some fine tuning things, right? He needs to sharpen the iron a little bit. And so he would be a player where if the Lions were to get him, it would take a little bit of time. And then, just kind of moving forward as far as other positions, right? They're not going to take a quarterback. They're not going to take a running back. They're not going to take a tight end in the first round. Unfortunately, I did write that story about them drafting Brock Bowers to go with Sam Laporta, which would be incredible. But I don't see that happening. But other than that, I really don't think anything's off limits. You mentioned edge rushers. I could see Dallas Turner kind of having a rough time with the Lions just because, he's a pass rush guy who needs some work against the run. And right now the Lions have Hutchinson doing it all in terms of run and pass. And so you're looking for maybe somebody who could hold down the edge on the opposite side, because if you've got Hutchinson on one side, teams are going to want to run away from him. And then you got to have somebody who's capable of setting that edge on the defensive end. And to me, I just don't really see Dallas Turner as being that guy right away. But again, another guy who will probably develop into a really good NFL player. Just not a guy I really see fitting well with the Lions.
Okay. And before we get out of here, we'll go over your 7-round mock draft that included a trade down. Why did you go with Luke McCaffrey over Jerry Rice's son?
Oh, Luke McCaffrey's just an exciting athlete, man. And it's fun to think about him as a potential gadget player in Ben Johnson's offense right away. Could help out maybe on kick return, punt return type of stuff. Obviously, with the new kick return rules, that position's going to be at a premium. And to be able to use a guy like Luke McCaffrey, who's not going to get maybe a ton of touches on offense, to help you out in special teams in that aspect would be a lot of fun. And then just the exciting athletic bloodline, man. Like, his brother is Christian. Obviously, we all know about Christian McCaffrey. And just the fact that he is so new to the position, right? He was a quarterback in high school. He was a quarterback for his first couple of years at Nebraska in college and then moved to a receiver at Rice. And just thinking about the potential and the potential ceiling, where if he continues to develop, you've got a former player in Antoine Randle-L who's been there, done that, won a Super Bowl. I just feel like, that would be an excellent partnership because, with Antoine Randle-L, also a quarterback in high school, also played some quarterback in college as well before moving to receiver with the Steelers. So, just kind of a fun partnership there. And then obviously with the background and the bloodline, as well as the potential and the ceiling with Luke McCaffrey, I think it would be a lot of fun.
What did you like about safety Ketan Oladapo out of Oregon State? You had him being the safety drafted by the Lions at 112 in round 4.
Yeah, he's another exciting player. And with me, the fit there is his ability to come down and contribute in the run game, come down and play in the box and be almost like an extra linebacker. He's big, he's physical, he's sturdy, and he's a hard hitter. kind of reminds me a little bit of what Deshaun Elliott was able to do when healthy, when he had that good stretch with the Lions a couple seasons back. So, yeah, Oladipo, nice mid-round flyer that you can take on a guy with hopes of maybe providing some depth. And then, like, if Kirby Joseph has a setback or anything like that, you know, he would be ready to plug in and play right away.
Yeah, your All Lions mock drafts were stellar. Make sure you check out Christian's final mock draft, available at All Lions by visiting si.com/NFL/Lions. You can also follow us on Twitter at Detroit Podcast, where you can check out all of the mock drafts that have been released this week and will be released in the coming days. They're coming to a close, but maybe we'll put out a far too soon 2025 mock draft this weekend. We got a lot of draft coverage for you guys at All Lions all throughout the weekend. Christian will be dialed in. I'll be live on the scene at Allen Park. Vito will be doing his research as well. The Lone Wolves definitely giving our opinions, maybe even having strong opinions about some of the picks. We're not going to shy away if we feel like, hey, look, I don't think we're going to call any of the picks subpar, but we will challenge and say, hey, wait a minute, what about this guy that went a couple picks after? Because even though you recognize, hey, it's the draft and everything like that, look, our job is to evaluate and give our opinions. And of course, a lot of it's going to be favorable. I'm sure that some of the players that will be targeted will have a lot of fits and a lot of character traits that will be appealing. But at the same token, we always look at talent. We always look at players that maybe have some question marks and maybe would have fit the Detroit Lions but weren't selected. So it'll be very interesting. And some people have said, look, Brett Holmes has had a high hit rate. Can he continue that? That's going to be determined. I think yes. I think that if you have a guy that's, you know, working with the staff in a collaborative approach, I do trust that he'll be convicted on a lot of players. But before we get out of here, last year they said they had true, I think, 14 first round grades. Just based on your evaluation, I think probably this year it might be less. I think it might be in that 12 to 13 range where they look at it and say, you know, there were a lot of talent, but in terms of true impactful talent, I think that they're going to declare a little bit less, or maybe roughly the same. I don't think it's more. I think there's a lot of talent that you could get value on in later rounds, but I just don't think that a lot of these guys from 15 on could have as much impact as in years past. Kind of a typical class, so that puts it right around 14. I think the number is going to come around 12, 13, where when Brad Holmes talks about it, he will say that, hey, I think there were 12, 13 players that had true first-round grades. Yep. Just based on what you've learned and surmised, what do you think? Just based on the first round.
Yeah, my number would probably be a little bit higher, you know, kind of in that 19 to 22 almost range. You know, I put out that piece last week on ranking the top 10 players that the Lions could draft if they stand pat at 29. And I would say probably the top half of those guys are all guys that I had first round marks on. And then obviously the top 10 talents as well in the draft. So, yeah, my number would be a little bit higher. Would you kind of split the difference there? So maybe 20, I would say, but I would cap it at around 22. I'm not quite at 25 yet. But yeah, no, I would go a little bit higher. And sometimes that's just me giving the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, no, I think that this is a solid draft class, and I cannot wait to see where the Lions go and what their haul looks like when we talk next week.
I can't wait. Lone Wolf, Christian Boer. It's going to be a good time, man. Thank you for your insights. Oh, man, our time, our 30, 35 minutes flew by. You gave a lot of insights all throughout the draft process, and it's just going to continue with his grades, his instant analysis, his insights regarding what's happened along with myself. We'll be on the coverage of the draft top to bottom, start to finish from Thursday all the way till Monday and beyond, getting the reactions, gathering information, reaching out and learning about the picks. Hopefully it's around 6 or 7. Hopefully they don't add to 8 or 9, because that just leads to a lot more work. Lone Wolves love to give their opinions, but we also, you know, don't want to be going into 8, 9, 10 draft picks and things like that. You know, ideal scenario, he trades into top 12. You know, it's the end of the night and we can get out of there before 2 a.m. But it could be a long night, but make sure you stay with All Lions. The caffeine will hit strong and we'll bring you as much positive coverage, as much coverage, fair and balanced, of the Detroit Lions as humanly possible. Christian, can't wait to break it all down next time, maybe even this weekend, if we can fire it up and give our reactions to the draft. Thanks again, and we'll come back next week for the latest All Lions Lone Wolves podcast.